Yes, it is Wednesday, April 24. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Just Loz and I this morning. We've got stacks of guests in the next 2 hours. Damien Cook is coming up shortly. Mitch Manners, we'll get some Queensland form off him. Josh Kennedy, Swans champion, as we preview the round in the AFL. And also get his reaction to the GWS Tribunal results last night, which saw that Toby Green failed to have his one-match suspension for rough conduct cleared, so he misses the match against Brisbane tomorrow at Marnica. Jesse Hogan is free to play, though. The Tribunal panel said there was just not enough force in his strike on Carlton's Lewis Young. So Josh Kennedy coming up in about half an hour's time. Brad Davidson, Dean Bulldog Ritchie in an hour's time as well. And during Bulldogs segment, we'll also speak to Dale Finucane, who, of course, retired yesterday on a day that Wally Lewis addressed the National Press Club in Canberra to detail his experience living with suspected CTE and asking for funding around that area from the federal government. Dale Finucane, he retired immediately, 32 years of age, 251 games across a great career for the Melbourne Storm, or the Canterbury Bulldogs initially, then the Melbourne Storm, and then the Sharks. And he said, well, the medical advice was that I retire after another head knock recently. So his last game was against the Tigers. He suffered a facial injury in that match as well. Played 5 Origins for New South Wales, won a couple of premierships with the Storm there in 2017 and 2020. And there was some more news at the Sharks there yesterday, some drama as the club released a statement confirming Braden Trindle have failed an initial roadside alcohol and illicit drugs test early on Monday morning, celebrating naturally that win over the Cowboys on Sunday. So he's been stood down for the match against Canberra this week. Daniel Atkinson comes in and Trindle will face Sutherland Court on May 17, and the NRL Integrity Unit is investigating. But there is a massive story that's emerged on the front and back pages of the Australian newspaper today in regards to Jackson Taupine lodging a statement of claim in the New South Wales Supreme Court. It's said to be a $4 million lawsuit in the Australian today seeking damages as a result of the wrestling session that was reported last year in July there at the Dogs. This session took place, and he is seeking damages, Taupine, for the psychiatric injury, deprivation of liberty, humiliation, indignity, physical exhaustion, physical discomfort, anxiety, embarrassment, and fear as part of his statement of claim. And all that the Bulldogs have said in response so far in the Australian is that they categorically deny some of the allegations that have been put forward, and didn't go into detail of what, but this will play out in the courts. And what this all means, interesting text here from Sturge earlier this morning. Imagine the consequences and impacts if this case is successful. You could see litigation everywhere, including against the training by our armed forces, let alone sporting cases. This will be so significant. And it's a, you know, a very unfortunate situation. We don't know, you know, a lot about, obviously, Taupine and his personal situation, Loz. But it could have massive ramifications going forward for the game. We're talking an NRL club here being sued by a player in the Supreme Court over what happened at training.
And first, let me say that I hope he's okay, but there is always two sides to the story, so we've always got to sit back and wait and watch and listen to see what comes out of those allegations. They're certainly very strong allegations, and both parties will get their chance in court to decide the outcome. But what I will say, as a professional, ex-professional athlete and someone that's been in and around rugby league for a long period of time, I think most players have always found themselves in uncomfortable situations at training, because that's part of the training regime, is to make you feel uncomfortable so you get better at feeling comfortable, and then hopefully being able to, whatever happens during a game, you can confront head on and be able to be strong enough to work your way through it. And me personally, I've never witnessed anything severe. It's always been tough. It's always been challenging. And there is always times where you are confronted with situations that you don't want to be a part of. But if you've done the wrong thing, then there are always consequences, whether that's an extra couple of 400-metre runs or extra training sessions, or if you've come back overweight, you've got to do extra sessions. And, I don't know where this is all going to lead. So I think from a playing point of view, an ex-playing point of view, yeah, I think we've all been in situations where you don't feel comfortable, but you're doing it knowing that you're going to get better at certain things, and it brings people together. But in this occasion, I'm unsure of what's happened, what's gone down, but we'll find out plenty more, I suppose, in the next couple of months when this all goes to court.
Good morning, Cookie.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And I guess tell us the prevailing emotion for you being back in the Nine jersey there at Souths.
Just part of the NRL roller coaster, mate. Back up the top of it now for another ride. So good to be back in, though. Obviously showed enough in Cup what he needed to see. Got myself back in the side. So looking forward to get down there on such a special day too. I was looking forward to this one. Didn't want to miss this one. Anzac Day in Melbourne. It's a game that I always actually enjoy watching as a fan. Now I get to be a part of it.
Hey, when do you actually travel down to Melbourne, Cookie?
We've got a light session today, just a captain's run, and then we'll go straight to the airport and head down. So a bit of a busy morning for us, but got picked up by Tommy Burgess again. He's got a coffee in the car waiting for me, mate. It's good service.
Good man, good man. I said there's been a few changes at the club over the last couple of weeks. David Fern is back. What impact has he had already?
Yeah, it's great to have him back. Obviously, had him when he was here in 17 and 18. Not just being a legend of a bloke, but, well-respected. As he's in our old career as well, so he's jumped straight in on the defensive coaching and had some good honest meetings with the forwards. He's looking after the forwards there and had some great tips for us and where we can improve as well. So I'm sure we want to go out there and make sure we put those improvements in place this weekend against a good Storm pack.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, with all the noise that was coming out of South Sydney and the commentary surrounding your coach's position, just having the bye and being away from it all, the noise is flat. There's nothing said, but you know if you don't perform this weekend, it's coming again.
Yeah, exactly. The bye came at a great time. And it's funny how much noise there was, and it's completely dropped off, and it's actually been nice. So it was good to get away for a few days, get away from footy and stuff like that, and reset a little bit, come in, like Fern is here now as well. So a bit of a reset button there. And I think we as players as well, coaching players, we don't want to lose games. We don't go out there to lose. So we're always training hard. We're looking ways to improve. So that's one way to keep the noise down, go out there and get a good win this weekend.
What can we expect from South in terms of the style of play? Because a lot of people always say when you come up against Melbourne, you've got to be prepared to roll the dice a little bit and move and shift the football. Is that something that we can expect from South this week?
Yeah, look, there's been points there. The problem is like we're leaking too many as well, and that's been the issue. We spoke about yesterday, if we kept it under a goal of 16 points, which is what most NRL teams want to do, we would have won four games by now. So that's been our main issue, and that's where we really need to tighten up and really work hard for each other tomorrow. And if we do get those opportunities, we know we've got the points in us. So that's all about, getting those opportunities down there. But, you've got to win the field battle with Melbourne, and that's what they do so well. They continuously do the same thing over and over again and wait for your mistakes. But at the same time, some of the challenges that they present as well is their second phase footy. That's where we're going to make sure we're on tomorrow and, stopping those offloads and stopping the players of the likes of Munster and Pappenhausen coming into the game.
Yeah, they've got threats all over the paddock. And one threat that they do have, and I'm always interested to get people's views on it, is like their wing, the aerial threat that they possess with Warbrick, and in particular, Xavier Coates. How do you sort of stop what he can do, Coates in particular, in the air?
Yeah, everyone's got to be on board. So, it starts right from that tackle leading into last. You've got to win that one and make sure we get as much pressure on the kickers as we can to hopefully make sure they don't put it on a dime, which they have been doing lately. Because Xavier Coates, as we've seen, has scored some freakish tries in there this year. So you got those guys, half centre and winger have all got a job. Oh, everyone's got a job to keep moving and fill the space, but especially out there, they've got a big job of making sure they're numbering up out there and doing what they can to give our wingers the best chance to take a catch or defuse the try.
Geez, Tommy's got a big job this weekend, big Nelson.
Oh, he does. It's a coffee for every time Nelson gets to me. I told him that.
Stay tight, Cookie. Stay tight to him.
I love reading that last week. You know, Nelson's come back in a great old perfect timing, of course, just for the South game. So we've had a pretty good run with him being injured for some of our games. So no, he's a big weapon for them, big go forward for them as well. So we need to make sure we're all hands on deck for him because he just starts that fast play the ball, and then that's where they get their speed off the back of that. So big job there for us.
Tell us the significance of Jai Arrow's return and, I guess, to an extent, offsetting the loss of Tevita Totola as well.
Yeah, it's obviously very disappointing with Tevita being out. But the likes of Jai, he's been working really hard and to get back to this game. Obviously, you know, had that injury. But he's someone in the middle that we love playing alongside. He goes out and does a lot of the dirty work. And a lot of those things that have probably happened in the middle of the field this year, he's one of those guys that cleans up a lot of that stuff as well, or he's there. And he takes the fight to the other pack as well. So I'm loving having him back and looking forward to playing alongside him again tomorrow.
And yesterday we saw Dale Finucan retire. Are you confident? And I'm sure you would have played a bit of footy with Dale probably in the early days of the Dogs there. But just overall, Cookie, are you confident the game is doing enough to mitigate concussion risks?
Yeah, it's on Dale. He's one of my best mates, to be honest. And, what a career he's had. So it's a massive congratulations to him. But it's been a big couple of weeks in going through the process of everything. To get to the decision he did yesterday, but he's one of those players that, being around him makes you want to be a better player and a better person as well, and he's someone that never lets his team down. So, I'll be, no doubt, I've spent a lot of time already, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next future holds for him. He's well-deserved retirement, that's for sure. But for the NRL, I think we are making the right steps in the right direction to looking after the players. We do play a high collision contact sport, so it's going to be hard to minimise them all. But we've gone from 6 day non-playing to 11 day. So there are they're obviously doing a lot of work in the background to make sure they're making the right decisions to somehow make sure they look after not just the players now, but especially in the future.
Cookie, can you refresh my brain? Is there restrictions on how much contact work you can actually do throughout the week, or is it just open slather still?
No, yes, definitely. The 11-day protocol has got a few steps in process, so there's no kind of, I'm not sure exactly how it works. Lucky I haven't had one this year, so touch wood. But, I'm not... Tommy, do you know how that works?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's, like, RPR got in place now, like, it's two full contact sessions a week.
Right, so they put a limit on the number of contact sessions you can do.
Yeah.
You'll have to put the invoice in, Tommy. Put an invoice in, Tom.
For your 5 seconds.
I bet you love hearing about how you 0 from 11 at Amy Park, Cookie. So what does everyone put the left boot on first? Or, what do we do about this venue and breaking this hoodoo?
Yeah, mate, I hadn't actually heard it this week until you just brought it up, so thanks for that. I appreciate it. Look, we've had some close contests down there where it's come just down to small moments, right before halftime. I remember one time we're probably, dominating that game, and they scored two late tries in halftime. I think we might have been down a person as well, and they end up just controlling the game from there, and we've had another one go to Golden Point. But, we spoke about just you got to commit to this whole 80-minute performance down here. Like you said, they just find ways to score points. They find ways to win games down there. We've got to be on. It's got to be our best performance in the last 2 years. That's what it's going to take to get the win down there this weekend. And, we're more than confident we can get that done. But it's going to take everyone on board and full 80-minute performance. You can't slack off against this team because they just... I won't say they score cheap tries because they put themselves in the frame just to make their own luck, but that's why we've got to be better than them.
Well, I agree, Cookie, because I watch Melbourne. I still don't think they're anywhere near playing to their full capacity, but somehow they always just keep finding ways to win. They've only lost one game all year. They've been in close contests. They just know how to win. But I don't see them, you know, when they're moving the ball, like, as dangerous as some of the other teams. I know that sounds silly, but they just, it just doesn't look as though it's as crisp as other sides.
It's just it's in their DNA, I guess, down there. Look at all the sides over the years, even when they've got great sides to, you know, losing some players, but the next man up sort of mentality they got down there, that you come up and you work hard for your teammate and you work hard to on every contest of the ball. So, and I think that's what they do. They just, when they're not playing their best footy, they're around it and making opportunities and get away with some wins that, you know, they might not have been the better team that day, but that just shows how good of a system they've got down there, and that's why it's so hard to go down there and win.
I love this text from one of our listeners. Tom will invoice you in pounds. Well, that'd be smart, wouldn't it, from Tom. Now, Cookie, I know you've been that focused on the game, no tip this week, but Loz has got a tip for you to keep an eye on his mare running in Adelaide on Saturday, and the Queen of the South.
The sexy one's running on Saturday, Cookie.
Really?
Yeah, Foxy Cleopatra, mate.
What are we, any odds yet?
13-1.
12-1.
12, a bit of money for her already.
That's my tip then. Jeez.
Tell the boys, mate, to get on.
Get on it.
Get on.
Go well. Enjoy Anzac Day. Great to be a part of, no doubt, Cookie. And go well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Sky Racing's Gold Coast caller, Mitch Manners. Good morning.
G'day, boys. Hope you're well down there. Obviously, we're starting to gear up for the Winter Carnival here. The launch of the Winter Carnival season yesterday in Brisbane. Some of the big-name trainers were on hand to talk about their stars that are heading to the carnival. Peter Moody has sort of pretty much locked in I Wish I Win for the Doomben 10,000 and Kingsford Smith. And Autumn Angel, the Australian Oaks winner, she's coming. It's still sort of slightly up in the air of whether she'll tackle the Oaks or the Derby over 2,400. Of course, the Oaks in Brisbane and Eagle Farm has run over 2,200. So there is some talk that she'll tackle the boys in the longer trip of the Derby. Graham Begg has announced that Magic Time will head north, probably just for the one start of the Kingsford Smith, but if she thrives up here, a berth in the Tats Tiara could await her. But it's starting to build, and I believe that the tab prices for the Group 1s, your Doomben 10,000, Doomben Cup, Kingsford Smith, Stradbroke, Derby and Oaks will be up today. So check out some markets there. And obviously we're starting to build towards the carnival with the Brisbane Handicap this week. And also the Gold Edition played over 1,000 metres, which is a good kickoff point for the three-year-olds.
Got something at Ipswich for us today, mate?
Yeah, I do. It's a former Kiwi now with, Paul Shaler's now based at the Gold Coast. Black Opium was a pretty strong winner in New Zealand on debut on a wet track. It'll be rain affected today at Ipswich. The rating this morning was an 8, a heavy 8. It might improve to a 7 or a 6, but you know, you're working with soft track anyway. I did happen to see this filly's win in New Zealand just via social media, and she looked very promising. She was given a very quiet trial at Deegan recently. The sort of speed horses in the heat got away from the others back in the field that were just sort of ticking over. I think she's got a bit more upside than some of these racing today. So in race 8, she's very well in a class 1 plate as a 3-year-old filly. Black Opium, Andrew Mellion, Paul Shaler, and they went up a good each-way price about this, and it's trimmed down to around $3.20, I think, was the last price. So
$3.50,
race 8,
I'm
number 14.
$3.50. But there has been some scratchings too. So
yeah, so I think there is some genuine money for her, but she just could have a bit more upside than that sort of opposition that she's up against today.
Okay, race 8, number 14, Black Opium, $3.50 with Tab. Mitch's tip there at Ipswich today, and really looking forward to the carnival there in Queensland just around the corner, mate. Thank you so much.
Thanks, boys. Check you next week.
Josh Kennedy coming up shortly. Brad Davidson, Dean Ritchie, Dale Finucane, and Nick Haslam, who's the tournament director for the LIV tournament in Adelaide. Still to come on the show this morning. Finchoff points out rightly too, Loz. He gets a start with Bet's Friends for his winner. He tipped us Magic Time.
Yeah. And he will get a start. So Finchop's already there.
He's in for Friday.
Yeah. So send him in Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one. We have any winners? Two winners. And they will continue on this week. Is that right, Tom? My IT department is telling me. I can't understand what Tommy's sort of sign languaging me.
We'll have a production meeting.
Yeah,
we'll need
a production meeting. So.
And on Friday, will you be back in control of the multi?
Yes,
after
I will
our
be.
Adam Pengilly's failure.
No. Well, you know what? I'll put my hand up and be a part of it. That's how good a bloke I am. I'll say that I was a part of that multi last week that lost. So I won't let you take all the blame. I won't let Pengilly take all the blame. I'll share it. Mm. All right? That's how good a bloke I am.
One, but anyway, we'll leave it at that. Richmond and Melbourne tonight at the MCG.
Was that a fake laugh?
Oh, well, you know, it was just broadsiding one last weekend.
Mm.
Had a top two.
Good horse, eh?
Yeah, it is. Look out.
Very, very good horse.
So who have we got? We've got Josh Kennedy coming up. Richmond up against Melbourne tonight at the MCG. Four changes for the Tigers. Three players have been dropped. They get Jacob Hopper back from injury. Dylan Grimes returns as well. The Demons have dropped forward Ben Brown. Cozzy Pickett is back from suspension. And the game we didn't get to, Loz, which we just had Cookie on. And by the way, on the text line, hey, boys, best of luck to Cookie. Tommy, good to have Tommy Burgess sort of on the show as well.
Mm.
And the boys, the 17-year-old daughter and I, just leaving Harvey Bay to drive to Brizzy, to fly to Melbourne, to watch the boys up the Bunnies. SSTID, South Sydney Till I Die. Dave and Paige from the Bay.
They're going from
Harvey Bay to Melbourne to watch the Bunnies.
Here, slap me, punch me, whatever you want. I'm going to do a Josh Kennedy and predict South will beat Melbourne. Because a couple of weeks ago, Josh predicted the West Coast Eagles would have their first win of the season. And I thought he was raving mad.
So you're going to tip South against Melbourne?
I'm going to tip South against Melbourne.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, you've said all season you haven't been completely convinced about Melbourne, but they just win.
I know they just win. It's probably wishful thinking.
South's 0 for 11 at Amy
Park.
I'm
probably death riding them. I'm probably wanting to see South Sydney just show something.
Mm.
And hopefully their defence has improved since my mate's gone there.
Dave Ferner, of course, you speak of. But that's great effort, by the way. Dave and Paige. Harvey Bay to Melbourne to watch their beloved Bunnies
play. Oh, that's
play.
What you love about supporters, Minnow. They follow their team. And not everyone can do that. I don't know whether they go to South Sydney games every week. But even if it's just once a year, to be able to spend that money to go and support your team is terrific. Mm. And that's what our game is built on. Without our supporters, we have nothing.
A couple of people pointed out in the text line, apparently it's the great Steve Roach's birthday today as well.
Block, so he'd be, what, 62 today?
I'd have to check that, Loz.
Because I went to his 60th a couple of years ago, or last year. I can't
Jono
remember.
Jono says correct.
62, Jono? There you go.
Happy birthday, Block.
Happy birthday, Block. He'd be out celebrating today with the family, or he'd be taking around his beer, block and tackle.
Block and grapple.
Grapple.
You'll get in trouble.
Oh, we'll get in trouble. Him and Gordy. Is that the same beer?
No, his is the Raging Bull.
Oh, that's the Raging Bull. Mm. But Block is a part of the Raging Bull. Too,
yeah, he is.
Yeah. What does Blocker call himself?
Better. They're in it together. Well, they've just got their own beers sort of labelled to them. Okay. I'm sure in Queensland they sell more Raging Bulls than Block and Grapples.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't think taste would be a factor in Queensland with that sort of stuff.
They're very loyal to their own Queenslanders.
Hello, Josh. How are you?
Morning. Well, it's morning, Mido. How are you guys?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. And GWS had a big night at the tribunal last night. So Toby Green doesn't get off. Jesse Hogan does for his little strike, which it was deemed there wasn't enough force. But the Toby Green situation, we've seen a few incidents of this now. There he jumps, leaps, marking contest, isn't going to make it, braces suspended. And we've been pondering all week, well, as a coach, what do you tell your players to do?
Oh, man, I think you're at a caught between a rock and a hard place there, aren't you? Because, you know, as a player, you've still got to be able to go for the ball. And if you think you can win it, go and get it. I'm not sure what they expected Toby to do in that instance. Obviously, in slow motion, it you know, you think, oh, he probably could have avoided it. But then if you watch it at normal speed, there's not much I don't reckon he can do. It's so bloody hard. He's lucky that that the player kept playing and didn't get concussed or anything, or he's probably looking at multiple weeks.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with all sports at the moment, the challenges that they face, in particular with these head knocks and concussions, and we see the after effects, or we're starting to see the after effects, but, you know, administrators now are very careful, and so they should be. But it's one challenge that all sports are going to have. But just on the Giants without Toby, they take on the Lions in Canberra tomorrow night. How much of an effect does that have on them not having him?
Look, I would say in previous years, it's a huge impact, what he's done for that side. He's obviously, you know, him just being out there makes a big difference. What he actually does on the field sort of speaks for itself. But this year, I reckon, you know, they've just been so well balanced, and he's, as you know, as an important player as he is, I reckon this year they probably cover him a little bit better. Jesse Hogan's the fact that he's playing is a huge in, but I don't think Toby, as much as he's such an incredible leader, and I'm sure people, you know, running out with him stand a bit taller. But you know, Jesse Hogan being their number one goal kicker this year and last year, I think that's a big in for him. And I just don't know about Brisbane. Last week, I tipped them just to get the job done, and the Cats beat them. So I'm going with Giants this week down at Canberra, and I think they can cover the Toby Green loss, whereas I reckon previous years they'd struggle.
Now, Josh, I thought you were crazy a couple of weeks ago when you tipped West Coast to have a victory. I was like, oh, please, they're not going to win too many games, and we're talking about giving them extra draft picks and all of the extras that come with a team that's been losing for a period.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they've found their form. They pushed the Swans. Now they've won a couple of games. Harley Reid, the number one draft pick, is
going to be rested this week.
Rested this week. Why would you rest him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, please. But yeah, I tell you what.
Good question.
What a turnaround for them.
Amazing. You know, and they're still, I mean, Harley Reid's a relatively big out, but they're still at $5 to play the Gold Coast. And, also, you know, the Gold Coast last week against the Swans, didn't put much of a fight at all. They, you know, apart from maybe a small period in the first quarter. Other than that, they were like sort of witches' hats out there at patches and lacked the intensity that they've been playing with earlier in the year. So, still reckon West Coast are a shot. I'm not sure what the line is, but definitely worth a look there. They just continue to. I mean, last week I thought they'd get beaten, but they ended up smashing Freo, so they look like they're going to cause teams a few problems down the track.
The Eagles are plus 32.5 and 520 head to head in that game. Gold Coast $1.16. That's on Sunday afternoon. Just on the Swans playing Hawthorn. I'm sure divides the family there in the Kennedy or the wider Kennedy family. But this is the last game on Sunday afternoon. But how did you? Well, what did you make of the Swans' performance there against the Suns, as you mentioned, on Sunday at the SCG, as the Swans, I guess, again, underline their premiership credentials, Josh?
Yeah, as I said, I thought Gold Coast intensity and pressure was well down, but, you know, the Swans can only do what they can do. They were, you know, pretty mature performance, I thought. Able to overcome a bit of a fight back in that first quarter and just look pretty comfortable throughout the course of the game. So, I think they should come down and get the job done against Hawks. But again, Hawks have got the capacity to trouble teams. They pushed Collingwood a few weeks ago. You know, easy win against North last week. But this one should get the job done there.
I can't remember, but where did you have Geelong finishing this year? Because I can't believe they're on top of the table. undefeated and they take on Carlton this weekend, I reckon we're going to get a better guide on what they're going to achieve this year after watching this game.
Yeah, I think, I've always, every week I feel like, oh, this will be a good, as you say, a good guide to see where the Cats really are at. But I think where they're at is obviously at the top of the ladder, and you know they're back in contention again this year. It was only 2 years ago they won a premiership, and they're well and truly back in it. I think I've seen enough from them to think that they'll be right up there at the pointy end of the year. Having said that, Tom Stewart out this week. He's probably their most important player, I reckon. And I think with the Blues forward line, they need him. So I'm going with the Blues as outsiders this week against the Cats at the G.
Okay. And a big game, of course, as always, is a great occasion at the MCG tomorrow with Essendon $2.70 up against Collingwood $1.47. And we've got betting open at tab for the Anzac medal as well. Nick Dacos, a $5 favourite from Zach Merritt of the Bombers at $6. Jordan Ngoi, $7. 13 and longer the rest. How does this game play out tomorrow, Josh?
I can't wait to see this game. Essendon are up and about. I think it's going to be pretty close. But the Pies have got their mojo back. There's no doubt about that. I tipped Port Adelaide last week and thought I was...
looking good early.
I was in the driver's seat. Yeah, looking good early, and then they just absolutely rolled them. So it's going to be a high scoring attacking game from both teams. The midfield will play a big part in it, but I think the Pies will win. Dacos is obviously a pretty safe bet, I'm not sure. Who else might
Ngoi?
I'm thinking Ngoi was up there, but
Tommy Mitchell
is a bit of an outside. Hey, no, Tommy Mitchell. I'm thinking maybe a forward like a Jamie Elliott loves the big stage. He's one for or Bobby Hill, one of the small Collingwood forwards.
He was good in the
grand final.
He's
a bit of an outsider. Hill. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's $26 to win the Anzac Medal. He's Bobby Hill, and Jamie Elliott's $41.
What about tonight, Josh? Go. The Tigers and the Demons.
Yeah, I think Tigers, they're in a bit of strife with all their injuries. So I think the Demons win tonight pretty comfortably. They should.
And they are $1.17 or minus 29.5 at the line of the Demons. Josh, enjoy, mate. We'll chat next week.
Good on you, gents. Look forward to it.
Brad Davidson from Sky Racing. Good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Very well, thank you. Yes, big news yesterday in regards to Amelia's Jewel. We're set to have a stable change from the Simon Miller stable in the west to the Annabel Neesham stable at Warwick Farm. And that's after the Goodwood coming up in Adelaide. I think the Goodwood Saturday week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Looking forward to seeing what she can do over east. I know a lot of people are saying she's a bit overrated after being beaten in the Quokka on the weekend, guys. But, gee, I think it's a bit harsh on Amelia's Jewel. You know, she's I think she's been in the top two pretty much every run bar
she's
two in her career today.
Very well.
Yeah, I know. And, look, I think as well the other point, guys, is that she's probably more a miler, isn't she? But she's just been trained for that Quokka simply because, you know, it's there in her backyard for the big prize money. So we've seen her beat Pride of Jenny at a mile. And we've seen what she's been able to do. She was luckless in a Golden Eagle. I still think she wins that Golden Eagle with any luck at all. So, Annabel Neesham will be tickled pink about getting this mare in her stable. And it's a feather in her cap, Annabel, to get such a big name because, you know, had so many trainers to choose from, and just goes to show what light Annabel's sort of seen in her, you know, in her early days as a trainer. So, terrific effort by the Neesham team, and I'm sure they'll do a terrific job with this mare. But, one more start for the Miller Yard in the Goodwood where the blinkers will go on. So, stays at 1,200 metres, which is the obvious concern there. But, look, hopefully it's a fitting farewell for the team and then onwards and upwards over to Sydney and, map out a plan, I'm assuming, for the spring. Likely to miss, I think, the Queensland Carnival now. They were looking at that before, but probably focus on the spring, I'd say, from after the Goodwood.
Group 1 action returns to Adelaide this weekend. Also, I want you to have a look at Davo, if you can give me an opinion on Friday. in the Queen of the South Stakes, because the sexy one's about to return in that race, Foxy.
Oh, well, we'll have to have a look. Loz, yeah, we'll get back to you with that one. But, yeah, look, it's going to be a good race this weekend. The Sangster, obviously the Adelaide Carnival shaping up to be a strong one. I think they've got free admission for everyone on track there, guys, which is a great initiative to get people to the races. And, you know, I think it's something that race clubs should do more of is open up their gates. You know, it can be quite a costly day at times, particularly if you have a bad day on the punt. So I think, you know, taking away the admission fees are something that it should, yeah, be applauded, really.
Yeah,
so,
and I just want to say, Brad, Randwick's doing it tomorrow for Anzac Day too, the ATC. Free entry at Randwick tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. And Anzac, you know, Anzac Day is always a terrific day of racing as well. And not only that, but, you know, pay tribute to everyone who fought for this great country in the past as well. So get out there if you've got the day off tomorrow, like a lot of people will have. But, yeah, the Sangster shaping up to be a strong race. Estriella, still your favourite despite drawing barrier number 11. I guess the key for her is to run that strong 1,200 metres. You know, she's shown she's been able to have that, well, she's got that brilliant speed, we know, and she's proven at 1,200, it's just at this level whether she can hold it, because she can get a little bit tired at the end of six furlongs at sort of, you know, at the best of times. So I suppose that's a little query with her, but she'll be favourite, no doubt, there on the weekend after that big win at Flemington last time out over 1,100, where she smashed the clock. So excited to see what she can do there at Saturday in the Sangster. But she's got good opposition there, good field of mares to do battle.
And I Wish I Win and Autumn Angel, they're going to be heading to the Queensland Carnival.
Yeah, we know Peter Moody's obviously got a soft spot being from Queensland, and yep, taking both these horses up here. Not a surprise, guys, because he is the type of trainer, along with Catherine Coleman there in training partnership, where they allow their horses to race into fitness. So generally speaking, they've got a fair bit left in the tank after the Sydney Autumn to be able to go on. And Autumn Angel is obviously pleasing them to head up there towards the Oaks. And I Wish I Win will head up there towards the sprint features. We know he's only lightly raced, and I think he only had the one run, didn't he, in Sydney. So we know what he's like on his day. He's arguably the best sprinter in the country. So only narrowly missed in the TJ, and he's only going to be the fitter off that. I think he's going to be very hard to beat in the sprint features up there. But a great coup for that Queensland Winter Carnival up and coming. Always one of my favourite carnivals, and shaping up to be a strong one again this year.
Have you got anything tomorrow at Randwick, Dover?
Yeah, there's a couple there, Loz, that I think look hard to beat. I thought Call Me Gorgeous looked very hard to beat in the opener, trialling very well and comes out of a very high rating race. It's only start last preparation when pushed wide on the turn. And when Bayama, the other one there, later on in the day, for J-Mac jumps aboard, steps up in trip. The run last time out was terrific at the Provincials, where it was a very hard day to make ground wide, and he was able to do that against the pattern of the day. So I thought they were the two there at Randwick tomorrow on what shapes to be a good program on the Kensington track on Anzac Day.
Okay, so Anzac Day on the Kenzo tomorrow. Davo's tips, race one, number two, Call Me Gorgeous for David Pfeiffer and Ashra Willer, $2.10 with tab. And also in race eight on the card, number four, Wemben Yama, $2.90 with tab. Brad, thank you so much, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Cheers.